Good morning, everybody. Okay, so we're going to wrap up the series Above All Else. We've had 8 installments, at least that's what we've published on the app. And I just want to review real fast and then get right back into it this morning. So we began the series with the scripture from Proverbs that says, above all else, guard your heart. So this is a priority to God. It's an instruction to all of us as men. If there's anything that we do in life, we need to learn how to guard our heart. And we said the reason is because you interact with God at the heart level, not the intellectual level. Now, we're not canceling out our intelligence. Our intelligence should work in conjunction with our heart, that when God speaks to us, then our mind comes into agreement with what God says, and we can actually take action in the earth and come into agreement with God's will for our life. And so a lot of times we have conflict between the heart and the head. And so we've been working on this for several weeks. So we talked in week number one, says just to understand God works from the heart. God's a heart God. Concept number two, we must renew our mind in order to establish our heart. So if our mind and heart are in conflict, we have trouble. We got to come to peace and harmony. The Bible teaches over and over in the New Testament that we need to renew the mind. We need to be in a transforming experience where the Holy Spirit is renewing and changing our mind over and over and over again. And it's day by day. You never get past this phase. You always need renewal because there's more to what God wants you to experience. I promise you today, if you'll begin to open your heart to God, He will show you things that you've never seen before. He'll instruct you in ways that you need to go. You're never beyond the need for your mind to be renewed. Third concept, my heart is my responsibility. I can't blame anybody else for what's coming out of my heart, right? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart, you'll figure it out real fast because it's going to come out your mouth. And maybe that's why a lot of guys don't like to talk too much. But it's going to come out if it's in there. You're going to find out. And so those are indicators. Sometimes those are like warning lights on the dashboard. When you hear something come out of your mouth, you go, whoa, I didn't know that was in there. I probably need to deal with that. I probably need to work on that. We've all throughout this series, we've talked about the importance of not only interacting with God from the heart, but then also including trusted men of God in our lives who can help us along this journey, because we're not meant to travel this journey of Christian faith alone. We are supposed to walk hand in hand, arm in arm, in lockstep with other warriors in the kingdom of God, moving and advancing His kingdom under the direction of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ leading us through speaking through His Spirit. We as men are supposed to be advancing together. And I'm telling you, a lot of the breakdown in men's lives is because they never invite anybody else in to help them on this journey of transformation and learning to hear God from the heart. Then this last concept we began last week and we're going to end today, influencing your heart is a daily journey. And so we said the heart is tractable, it's moldable, and we need to keep our hearts soft toward God. All right, we started last week giving examples of biblical characters, people, real people from the Bible who influenced their heart. And we learned this key concept about biblical meditation. I'm going to go ahead and give you some examples, and we're going to talk again about what does meditation really look like, and then how can we go forward from today and live on the journey of walking with God, living from the heart. Because the goal is this. The goal is that I could live from my heart. I don't know if you guys remember, but I'll tell you one of the best pieces of advice I ever received as a young man. The question was this: does your heart belong to Jesus? Yes, sir. Then you can follow your heart. Well, that scared me at the time because my heart had been leading me to a lot of sinful activity. And this, here's somebody saying, well, you can follow your heart. Well, I mean, and that's the truth, because in the depths of my heart, Jesus does reside through the Holy Spirit. I just had a lot of stuff piled on top of that. And I needed to get some of that unearthed and out. And so I began a journey of trying to live from my heart. And I immediately thank God, 24 years ago, I ran into men of God at this church who were willing to walk the journey with me to help me excavate all the junk out of my heart, all the perversion, all the sin, all the self-indulgence, all the stuff, right? And get me on a path where I could actually be partnering with God to do God's work in the earth. I am so grateful for the men who have walked this journey with me. Many of them are right here in this room today. And I thank God that he has not left me alone. Because left to my own devices, it's not a pretty picture. How about you? I need accountability. I need people who are walking this with me. I need to bounce ideas off of people. When I run into problems, like God shows me another area I need to work on, I need to expose that, bring it out into the light, and so other guys can help me. It's not their responsibility to make me, but if I know I've got real accountability with real men who really love me, who aren't afraid to tell me the truth, that helps keep me on the right path. And guess what? We all need that. And so I'm going to tell you about biblical characters who learned to influence their own heart. Number one was Jesus Christ. You go, well, that's not fair. He was Jesus. Well, yeah, it is fair. It is fair because the Bible clearly teaches in Philippians that although he is fully God, he is fully man. And when he came to the earth, it said he gave up his position of God and came and became the lowest of servants, and then on the earth lived as a man completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit to live his life perfectly and sinlessly. Now, you don't have to worry. I'm not saying you can be Jesus because you've already messed that up. So have I. But you need to understand that Jesus was able to live sinless by the direction of the Holy Spirit, by relationship with his Father here on the earth, and so can you. People always go, well, that was Jesus. No, Jesus was fully man as he walked this earth. Why else did he have to go and pray? Why else did he need to get baptized? Why else did he need to follow in a path of direction that his Father was giving him? If he was just God doing whatever he wanted, that doesn't make any sense. He fully surrendered, just like we have to. And because he did it, we can do it. And now he not only says we can do it, he's living through us. If you're a believer today in Jesus Christ, he put his Spirit in you. Little kids get it. They say what? I asked Jesus into my heart. Well, Jesus is still in your heart. He didn't leave you. You may have piled a lot of junk on top of your heart, like I talked about, but today you can go free. Today you can get on the path. Today I want to give you some practical tips that hopefully help you walk out of here and stay on the right path. So Jesus influenced his heart. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place, and prayed. I told you guys last week when I started trying to practice this, I fell asleep every time. So I learned that my solitary place was in my vehicle. I'll drive because I don't fall asleep when I drive in the morning. Now at night, I might fall asleep driving too. But in the morning, I wake up if I'm driving. There's enough activity. I can commune with God. I can talk with God. I can have a great time of listening to the Holy Spirit right there in my car. So when we read that Jesus went alone to a mountain and prayed, we need to realize he did this to connect with God, to harmonize his heart with the Father's heart. He wasn't just talking. He was listening when he went away. He was reflecting. He was meditating on God's word. As a Jew, Jesus had memorized all of the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. I mean, and so listen, guys, if guys like Jesus, the only scripture they had was Old Testament law written down, maybe some prophet stuff that they had read, if they can get connected with God through that, you ought to be able to connect with God today through the New Testament and the Old Testament. I'm not saying it's irrelevant. I'm just saying, man, if they could do that, we can do this. And so Paul the Apostle influenced his heart. He meditated on God's word. He shared his secret to overcoming monumental obstacles like beatings, stonings, imprisonment, death threats, and all kinds of hardships in ministry. He gave us the secret to doing this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Are you with me? It's going to take some intentional meditation. Meditation simply is thinking, rethinking, thinking, rethinking. We talked about a cow chewing the cud. You chew it up, you swallow it, you throw it back up, you chew it again. That's meditation right there. Anybody can do it. We said if you know how to worry, you know how to meditate, just flip it from negative to positive. And so meditation is a skill we're all born with. Have you ever worried? Couple of you. So you, those of you who've worried before, you know how to meditate. And so this is just flip that thing and think about positive. Because listen, if I'm scared that something's going to go wrong, I can think it, rethink it, think it 10 different ways of how it could go wrong and mess up my life and my whole future, right? What if I took the word of God, like this Who I Am in Christ booklet that tells me about 70 different things God says about me. What if I picked one a day and said, I'm going to think, rethink, and think again how I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to figure out how awesome I really am by the end of this day. Most of us don't approach God or godliness with thinking we're awesome. We think, I'm terrible. I can't stand in the presence of God. Yes, you can. Your sins were removed by Jesus at the cross. You can stand in the presence of God and you can get over your past. You can let go of the things that have hindered you. The Bible says, let go of the sin that so easily entangles and run the race with vigor and eagerness and go for it, guys. How do you do that? You fix your eyes on Jesus. Just like Paul said here, I'm fixing my eyes on what is not seen. Wow. You think, well, that sounds kind of weird. Well, if you want to see Jesus today, it's going to be unseen with the natural eyes. You're going to have to see with the eyes of your heart. The same guy, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, prayed that the eyes of our heart would be enlightened, would be opened, so that we could see God. We could see what God has done for us. You're not going to get there casually. Do you remember in the book of Haggai recently as we were teaching this object lesson? You won't stumble into holiness, but you can stumble into sin. You can walk right out the door and stumble into all kinds of junk today. But if you're going to walk in godliness, it's not going to be by accident. It's going to be on purpose. So learning to set aside time, just like Jesus did, learning to fix your eyes on what's not seen like the Apostle Paul did, that's your choice today. But if you do it, it will reap you great rewards forever and ever. You'll be so glad that you gave place to God's Word and to interactions with the Heavenly Father in the solitudinal places, in these personal places, in this art of meditation. And we're not talking about some weird thing where you climb up on the table and cross your legs and go, you know, you could do that if you want, but that's not, I don't think, what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is thinking and rethinking and pondering and meditating on the goodness of our Father and what that means to us every day. It will transform your life if you focus on the goodness of God. So Paul's talking about seeing with the eyes of the heart. He influenced his heart by seeing the Word of God with the eyes of his heart. A great place to start, like I mentioned, is Who I Am in Christ. We also have these devotion books out in the foyer for free. Places that, things that will, tools we can put in your hands that will help you get started. Because some of you go, I don't have any idea how to start meditating. Well, read one of these verses. These booklets will be at the back or out in the foyer out there. Who I Am in Christ. Read one. Meditate on it all day. Take one of these daily devotions. They're half-page devotions for every day. They got the date on it. It makes it real simple for you. This is great stuff. If you don't have a way to interact with God through His Word, pick one of these tools and get started. Now, Paul the Apostle passed on this practice of meditation to his son in the Lord, Timothy. Timothy influenced his heart. 1 Timothy 4:15, this is the instruction that Paul gave to Timothy. Meditate on these things. What? Everything he had just said previously in this chapter. Give yourself entirely to them, and your progress may be evident to all. Meditation was the way for Timothy to give himself entirely to the things that he had been taught. Paul wanted Timothy to experience the Word of God in a life-giving way, and so he told him to meditate on the Word. In the Old Testament, Joshua influenced his heart. Joshua 1, 7 through 8. Only be strong and courageous. Be careful to do according to the law of Moses, my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall, say it with me, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Psalm 1 says exactly the same thing. Meditate on God's word, on the law of the Lord, day and night, and you'll have success. You know, I talk to men all the time who want to be successful. I talk to men all the time who want to know the will of God for your life. What does God want me to do? Well, I'm going to tell you, the first step is begin to meditate on God's word, and you are promised that if you make that the centerpiece of your life, you will have success. The question isn't how to do it. The question isn't what the outcome can be. The question today is, do we believe God's word? I see one of us does. By voice recognition, somebody said yes. I think all of you believe God's word or you wouldn't be here this morning. But let's ask ourselves real hard questions. How much place, like I mean not idealism in your mind this morning. I mean by time management, how much place do you give to the word of God in one day? Because meditating on this word of God day and night promises me success, and yet so many guys go, I don't have time to read the Bible. Huh. Meditating on God's word promises success. I'm a Christian. I want to do things God's ways. Hey man, how much time do you spend a day reading God's word? Crickets. Chirp, 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 chirp. Oh, and then they come back for the second meeting. Hey, man, how much time have you spent reading God's word? Did you take the Who I Am in Christ booklet? Have you taken one of those scriptures per day and prayed over it and asked God to give you revelation about it? Have you been thinking? I went to church last week. Hey, I'm not getting on to anybody, but let's get real. You want to be a man of God. You want to have the promises of the Bible come true in your life. Get the word in your life. Okay. Obviously, Moses and Joshua and Paul and Timothy and Jesus knew something that we need to know. God's word needs to be the centerpiece of our lives. So let's talk about it. What is meditate? Let's revisit this. To ponder, to conceive, to imagine, to think about over and over, to utter out of the heart. People say, I don't know how to meditate. I already asked the question, do you know how to worry? Yes. Then you know how to meditate. Flip it to something positive like God's word. Use the same skills that you have been using over and over to create anxiety and worry and fear in your life. Use those same skills to create positive outcomes, good attitudes, happiness, joy, contentment, peace. Wow, you mean I can redirect my own heart? Yes, you can decide today, I'm going to get in God's word. I just start with the Psalms, man. I love the psalmist because he was as bipolar as I am. Have y'all ever read it? Man, the first of it, oh, everything's terrible, God, things are falling around apart. Oh, and I see that God is good. My enemies have been defeated. Woohoo! Have you ever read the Psalms? He's as messed up as we are. That's why I love starting in Psalms. I love Proverbs because it's the cliff notes of the Bible. It's the one-liners. You can read one verse in Proverbs and chew on it all day long. Now get ready, if you start reading Proverbs, it is going to confront your worldly paradigms that you think are Christian. I just have to tell you the truth. If you start reading the Bible and really taking it seriously, I'm telling you this morning, I barely made it here this morning because I fell under conviction about an attitude that I've been harboring in my mind, thinking I was justified. I was crying my eyes out this morning saying, God, please forgive me, because I didn't realize thinking that way was contrary to your word. This is an ongoing process. You don't arrive someday and now you go, well, I'm the guru of godliness. It just doesn't happen that way. It's a journey, and we're in it together. And if you ever find somebody who says they got it all together, they're lying. Pray for them. Don't judge them. Pray for them. I don't have it all together. You don't have it all together. That's why we can be friends. We can do this thing together. I'm not perfect. I am on a good path. I want you to be on a good path. We want each other. Man, we've got to embrace God's truth. We need to learn to meditate on the Bible. It helps you find true north. You know, I haven't been hiking much, but I remember one time my kids were little, we got to stay in a cabin up in Ruidoso, and kids wanted to hike, and man, they're hauling booty up the mountain faster than me, and I'm trying to catch up, and I'm out of breath, and I'm thinking, oh, the cabin's just right over there. And we got lost. Thank God we hadn't hiked very far, because it took me about 30 minutes to figure out which way to go. I didn't have a compass. I wish I would have, because a compass would have helped me find some true north. And I could have figured out where I was going. But when I left, I didn't think I needed all that. Because just right over there, and I'm going to come back right over here. It ain't like West Texas. You can't see. Every tree looks like the same tree. Out here, if you see a tree, oh, I'll just go back to the tree. There's only one in 50 acres. You know what I'm saying? So, but, I mean, I got lost. I needed a compass. I needed something to give me true north. Your Bible, your godly friends will help you find true north in your life. So how do I influence my heart? Sometimes our heart is impacted in aha moments, right? The light bulb comes on. It's in a life experience where we experience God in a supernatural way. Maybe it's in a worship time at church. Maybe it's when somebody's teaching. Maybe you're having a conversation like, boom, I never thought of that before. Those aha moments are cool. But most of the time, to influence our heart, it's not some magical moment. It's consistent effort over time. I mean, it's like we want God to do a poof thing, like a genie out of a bottle. I'll give you 3 wishes, you know. Well, I wish that I wouldn't do this anymore, and I wish that I had quadrillion million dollars. Right? But that's not the way this works. It's not kapoof. I mean, every once in a while you have a moment, and man, it's real, and like you got delivered from alcoholism in an instant. That happens sometimes. But sometimes you just got to get on a journey of setting good boundaries. Amen? Like my worst addiction in my life, it didn't poof off of me overnight. I had to set up good boundaries and walk the path and consistently replace negative, perverted things with positive, life-giving things from the Word of God. So most of us are going to transform our hearts and influence our hearts by consistent effort over time. It's really work. But that's not a curse, man. Work's not a curse. God made you to work. Not only to do physical things to make a living, He wants you to do some work on your heart. He wants you to join Him in the work of transformation. We are the product of our environment, men. So we need to create peaceful, relaxed environments, places to seek God. You know, if your work is stressful, that's probably not where you need to go to have your word time, your quiet time. Find a place that feels peaceful, serene, relaxing to you. Does that make sense? There are many biblical ways to meditate. Here's a few. Some of you really connect with this. Nature, the psalmist would often look at nature and contemplate the wisdom and greatness of God, like a sunset, the clouds, the crops, the rain. And in those natural things, you see the greatness of God. That's meditation. You're thinking, how does God make this water fall from heaven? And you just get all up in this worship moment about how great God is. You start thinking about all this stuff. Or you see the sunset. You see a tree, like out here, like it'd be awesome, and there's trees. Man, God, how did you form this? I mean, and people really connect with God through nature. That's a valid way to meditate. Praise, worship, and prayer. Those are very generally accepted ways to connect with God, right? We think worship is just when we're up here playing the guitar and drums. No, worship can take on various forms. Praise can take on various forms. Prayer can take on various forms. Prayer is not just, oh, Father in heaven, I hope you don't kill me for what I did yesterday. I mean, prayer is live and active. So it's a living relationship. Yes, there's reverent moments, but if Jesus is also my friend, I can talk to him like I would talk to a friend. Read the word. It says he's not only our Lord, which deserves reverence, he's our friend, he's our brother. I mean, we can have a real relationship, a conversation that goes on and on throughout your life with the Lord. The Psalms often end with the phrase, Selah, which just means pause and reflect. There are moments throughout your day where you just need to pause and reflect. I mean, like, I've done this just recently. Kirby and Catherine had the cutest baby I've ever seen, little Karis. And I get to see that baby more often than most because I'm around Kirby a lot. And when I see that child, I just pause. And I think of the innocence and purity in those little blue eyes. And I think about God. I just pause and reflect. Oh, God, I want to be as innocent as a child again in the way I see you. That's a worship moment. That's a transformational opportunity. And it's not religious at all. It's looking at a baby. Do you see what I'm saying? Praise and worship. I mean, that's simple, right? Make sure it's simple. Make sure it's scriptural. Make sure it's directed toward God and allows the worshiper to engage in a personal exchange with God. You can get a lot of good heart work done in a worship set at church. But if you're busy worrying about everybody else around you, you might miss the opportunity, right? But, I mean, we got at least 3 or 4 songs on a Sunday. It's an opportunity. It's pre-done and made for you. Walk in, get in it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, close your eyes, forget about everybody else. Say, God, how do you want to encounter me today? What do you want to say to me today? That's a way to ponder, meditate, engage God. See, this is starting to sound like something we might could do, right? These aren't hard things. And the good thing is, the church here, the organized thing called church that's full of all those people, we actually have activities that encourage this stuff. Guess what? We do worship like we do worship on purpose. So you can have an opportunity to meditate on God and his word. Everything we do at church should help you grow. If we don't, we should quit doing it, okay? So that's the deal. So get involved. Even serving helps you meditate on God. Jesus was the greatest servant of all. When you're out there serving coffee to someone, greeting someone, it's an opportunity to meditate on how Jesus wants to serve that person. You can grow deeper sometimes in your relationship with God by simply serving other people. It doesn't have to be some religious thing. Do you need your personal time? Yes. Do you need quiet time? Yes. Do you need loud time? Yes. Do you need all kinds of different? You need a lot of variety. Make a plan to seek God. Make a plan, guys. You could be transformed if you meditate on his word day and night. You could find the success that the Bible promises if you would learn to put God's word as the centerpiece of how you make decisions in this life. It ain't that hard. You don't have to have a doctorate degree in biblical theology to meditate on God's word. I know young people who are literally not even teenagers yet, who are more in touch with God than some adults. because they're not tainted by all this junk, man. Don't you want to go back to that where you just love God, you trust God, you don't question God and his word all the time, you just accept it. Whew! I'll tell you, one of the fondest seasons of my life personally is what I call my trailer house season of life. Right before I was married, at the last 2 years of college, my grandma passed away and the family gave me the trailer house. So I got to quit living in the dorm and go to the trailer. Right out here at the Rio Concho. Go Conch. I didn't have anybody else to take care of at that time but me. And back then we didn't have iPhones and iPods and all that. I had a big CD player with a boombox. And I would shake the walls of that trailer with worship, man. I had visions of Jesus coming and visiting with me. I had powerful moments of brokenness over my sinful conditions and cleansing of who I am. I felt God calling me deeper, man. Those times are precious to me. Man. Get you some trailer house worship. Shake the wall somewhere, baby. When I start feeling distant from God, I think I need to go back to the trailer. I need to get rid of all this cool stuff I've acquired over time and just go back to the simplicity of me and God. Almost done. Of course, God's Word. Meditation in God's Word has incredible potential to change your life. I think I've said that 50 different ways already. When you read the Bible, don't just read it academically. Ask God to help you experience what was going on when that was written, because that'll change it. Like, try to put yourself in the story. I mean, there's lots of benefit to the academic understanding of the historical context, who he was writing to, why he wrote it. But if you could imagine, like, there's a letter from Paul to Timothy. Imagine that you're Timothy and you're reading this letter from your mentor for the first time. Do you think that would change the way you read it? Yes. When you're reading the book of Acts, don't just go, well, this is a historical account of what God did through the apostles. No, say, what if I was there? God, could you, listen, one of the greatest things we have is our imagination. What, can you imagine what it was like on the day of Pentecost? We're all scared to death, locked in an upper room, and then the Holy Spirit falls as like a rushing wind and fire. Man, this must have been an experience. Whoa. Most of us just read it, because we think if we read it and memorize it intellectually, it'll change our lives. Well, it might. But what if you experience it? God is real. And what he wrote, and these words are holy, man. I'm not saying they're casual at all. They're holy, but they're meant for me to experience and live. I don't want to read about the apostles. I want to do what the apostles did. And it's still possible. God's alive. He's working. He's here. He's in your heart. Here, let me give you a quote by Albert Einstein, of all people. He said, imagination is more important than knowledge because knowledge is limited. Your ability to imagine is a God-given gift. Most of our imagination have been perverted, but God can redeem your imagination. Whoo! 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're almost done. And we, with unveiled faces. That just means there's nothing between us and God. All reflect the Lord's glory. Like, we're looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and we're being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Could you just say these words with me? We're going to say ever increasing glory. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Ever increasing glory. What if you believed that your life was meant to be ever-increasing, glorious, amazing experiences with a real, true, awesome, living God? You've got to find that place of belief again, men. You've got to find moments where you can experience like a child encountering God with no care or concern for the things of this world. And let him wash you. Let him renew you. Let him transform you. I'll promise you this. You'll never regret a minute in the presence of God. You will never, ever, ever regret that you rearrange your schedule to find time for God's word. You'll always look back in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years and go, that was a good choice. Then here's my challenge to you men. If what I said is just true and I think you believe me, then what are you going to do about it? How are you, how am I going to make time for our awesome God and his word in our life today? What would keep you from God's word today? What would keep you from biblical meditation? What would keep you from using your imagination to experience everything that God has for you? Will you pray with me? Father, it's in the name of Jesus. We lift ourselves to you right now. We lift our hearts to you. God, we don't want to walk out of here the same. We don't want to live the same mundane life that we have for the last however many years. I want something fresh, new. I want the innocence of those baby blue eyes again. I want an experience with God that transforms my very existence and shows me the path in front of me. God, I want something real today. I don't want more religion. I don't want more just activity. I want an experience with my Father. And I want that for every man in this room, and I know they do too. So Holy Spirit, open up our minds and hearts, connect our hearts and minds, show us the path forward so we can meditate on your word and live the promises of success in this life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.